People have taken notice. You know, I think I've blogged once or twice. It's lonely here on this side of the World Wide Web because I don't know if I intimidate people that they don't comment to my posts, or if they don't care. I just don't know. It's not like when I was Facebook and, you know, just a user of Facebook and had friends and you know, chit-chatted and do all the things you do in Facebook. On the other side, it's different. And it was lonely. And my posts are always a mile long. And they're always deep thoughts. And, you know, when you get on Facebook and you scroll through and you see, you know, you see favorite band, you know, it's
It's sort of like, why? Yeah. Why are we doing this?
Right, exactly. And so these things that I post in my Facebook pages and people share them to their timeline moves me. It's like, oh, my God, people get it. You know, they, and it's not talking about cyber days. It's just talking about something that, you know, I feel is important. And I always make, you know, a point to go on to that shared post and in the comments section. Thank you for your share. Appreciated. Cyber Days. Spread the word.
Yeah.
And one woman wrote immediately back, no problem, sister. Keep up the good work. I love it.
Yeah.
Feedback.
Yeah. And plus, you know, there's a certain level of tradition that's being lost in, you know, now people are expecting the likes and the shares. And it's like sort of like, oh, I posted that I'm eating breakfast and I'm expecting all my friends to like it and share it. And it's like, you know, you're supposed to thank somebody for anything they do for you, whether it's sharing a post or helping you move. You know what I mean? Like there's supposed to be a level of, you know, appreciation. And I think there's a certain level of some of those human interactive norms that are, you know, being changed by the way we're moving, and technology is not helping us in that regard. Do you think that there are probably other people that might be experiencing this this sort of phenomenon of you know, feeling like there's a message being sent to them and that they need to, like, figure out how to deliver it? You know, how did you get around the initial stages that probably stop a lot of other people of not really knowing what to do at first or how to get started? And do you have any sort of words of wisdom or encouragement to anybody who might be at that point now and not have the sort of unstoppable force sort of personality that you do? What kind of words could you give somebody to kind of get them on the right path?
You know, that would take some kind of deep thought on my end without having to ask you to please repeat that. Cause I guess I was still setting on the thought that I didn't finish. Oh my gosh. Never mind. what could I offer? Just, you know, everything, you know, comes just at the right time. One time I did have just an element of doubt. What am I doing? You know, why am I even bothering? No one's listening. You know, I should just quit this, which was only maybe one or two brief moments that ever happened. And one day out of the blue, I got a tweet from somebody that I'd never spoken with or had any interaction with before. And she said, you had the balls to just get out and do it. I admire that. Right at the precise moment that I needed to hear something like that, and boof went my doubt, and on I went. So just do it, you know, just get out and do it, because it does make a difference, and it will make you feel better. That's what I was going to tell you. In my early days, before I had, you know, developed this platform that I have, I was going to a few dating sites. And I wasn't leading men on. I was just chatting with them. But in my profile, I would say, I love, and I've already have created, you know, if you Google cyber days, you find a whole lot. One man says, you're like a debris from a plane crash. You're all over the World Wide Web like a debris of a plane crash. I didn't know if that was a compliment or a rundown. But
it's probably a little bit of both. It's probably being cheeky a little, but you know, that's an interesting way to describe it. It's almost like, yeah, you're like the beach on Lost. There's a little bit of everybody's life all over the place here.
Right. But, oh, I was getting on to about writing, if I would ever write again. I ventured into a site. You probably have heard of Ashley Madison.
I think we've all heard of Ashley Madison. Yeah.
And went there, and you know, my profile reads, I love music, Cyber Days. I love concerts, Cyber Days. And I had a homework assignment. They had to listen to Rev 2220 by Pussifer, which is it's up there with Closer as far as song lyrics. You know, it's a very... I talk about it a lot in Cyber Days, along with Closer and Nine Inch Nails and Trent Reznor. And people, the smart ones, I joined that group, and overnight I had, I think it was like 3,000, messages from men wanting to chat with me. And I just wanted, erotic chat. I wasn't looking, you know, to meet up with anybody.
Right,
and of course,
right.
I wasn't looking for anything from anybody except for them to get to come in contact with the word Cyber Days.
Right.
That's all I wanted. At that point, Cyber Days was not yet published. Many, and this is another thing, I call it the ride. Many people have guessed at my email. I have, you know, Cyber Days at Yahoo, Cyber Days at Gmail, Cyber Days at AOL. I locked them all up, you know.
Yeah.
And they guessed their way into my email, begging me to, you know, sex with them. And
well,
this
now,
man...
Was this
also
at the same time you're using... I mean, obviously you have a model whose photo you use for the Cyber Days page, so I'm sure some of that attention could have been because of that as well.
Well, let's put it this way. You've seen her. You know her. I came across her many years ago, and again, it's fate. I saw the picture, and I had to have it. I knew I had to have it. I didn't know why, so I saved it to my camera roll, and it sat there for years. And along comes Cyber Days. And another photo too. I had to have years ago. Didn't know why. Never used it. Never posted it. And one day I decided I was going to run a Facebook ad on my Facebook pages, and I posted that. And it was a picture of a pawn looking into the mirror and seeing a reflection of a king. And above it said optimistic, and that was the picture. I just had to have it. I didn't know why. I never used it. Had it for years. The first thing that came to mind, I went straight to that picture and I typed out, and tomorrow the world Cyber Days, it's gonna be big, so read it, cyberdays.com. That ad was insanely popular. I can rest assured that probably millions of people have seen the word Cyber Days. Maybe not have read it, but they've seen it. And so I at least met one objective. I don't follow sales at all, because it's not about numbers. It's not about money. It's about the message. But at any rate, I did come across a man named Chuck, very intelligent man. We wrote the most incredible sexting story. Oh my God, was it good. I think I missed my calling. It was great. And I, you know, I'm not, and it was upper, you know, upper class, top notch stuff. Not,
it was classy,
you know,
porn.
Oh,
love
my
it.
God, it was great. And it was actually a short story. So we co-authored this, and I, you know, asked if I could use his words. He says, I'm honored, you know, that you want to use them. And another man had come along begging to do the same. And he started, you know, so he was in my email. So he started, you know, that we were in the food court at a shopping mall, and he was watching me eat. The man couldn't write at all. He immediately had me in the bathroom and was doing his thing, and boom, he was gone. I'm like, oh my God, you know, I haven't even said anything yet. So I left it, and a little while later he came back. Well, aren't we going to continue? And I'm like, oh, okay. I just cut him out completely. I wrote another whole short story, and I know for a fact that man will read that story every single day of his life until the day he dies. I know it for a fact. It was that incredibly good. And so I thought, I should pair those two stories together and post them under one name, Cyber Days Erotica. And so I thought, what the hell, you know, I'll write again, so I'll do it. And so I had that in mind. And then I thought, well, that might come back and bite me in the ass down the road. So I backed off on it. But I had turned it into the publisher.
And what did the publisher think?
Oh, they don't give you any feedback at all. Nothing. It's just business to them.
So
they don't
publish
care.
It? They don't have any?
No.
Oh, wow. So you have no, in anything you write, you have no need to satisfy them as like a gatekeeper to distribution. You can go straight from whatever your vision is, what they put it out in as is.
I guess so, because they had no qualms with Cyber Days, and it, you know, it's downright racy, you know, it too. So nothing.
Yeah, I love how we got an hour into the interview before we started, you know, promoting the sexy side of it. Like, by the way, guys, there's sex in this book. Enjoy that, you 50 Shades fuckers out there. All you people with your friggin' zucchinis that you're buying at Target with your copy of the book. That's kind of interesting that, you know, and again, how life has like all these touch points with different realms, different sort of genres of the human experience. So that's kind of interesting too, because I guarantee probably a lot of that initial outreach from guys wanting to have cyber sex with you, which is interesting that there's a term cyber sex before you wrote Cyber Days.
yeah.
And they're probably doing it for much more of a self-gratification kind of thing. And you're like, yep, I need chapters. So this is perfect for me. And they're going like, yeah, but I'm like doing stuff over here. And you're like, yeah, so am I. I'm writing this. I'm typing it all up. Oh, that's pretty funny. It's interesting that you have an element in there. I know we've been going on for a while here, so if you're running out of steam or if you've got other stuff you need to go do, just, you know, let me know when we need to cut it off here. But
oh, I'm good. Cyber Days is what drives me, and I am driven. I think I've blagged that more than several times, and it's true. I feel that there's definite purpose and need, you know, for the story to be heard, and I'm certain other people are going to say, wow, I can relate. And if they want to share their story, or if they want to write it themselves and just have coaching services, I'd be glad to do that too. It after Joe backed out, he chickened out, I had to do a lot of coaching, you know, and telling him it'll be all right. You know, when it first comes out, you're going to feel that way. But it does get better, and you won't think about it anymore. And after a while, after me pestering and pounding him to death, he finally came back. And his stories are shocking, and it's hard for me. He said, and of course he's read Cyber Days, and we've been friends now for a year and a half, so he knows quite a bit about me. And you know, he said, no, he says you should go on and get familiar with the game. So I did create an account.
And Second Life we're talking about now?
Yeah. Mm. And I'm addicted to the World Wide Web. In fact, I have a hard time saying, well, I'm doing it as a business, so you know, it's justified. But then again, I say, but, you know, 15 hours a day, maybe not.
Well, I mean, why don't we give everybody, you know, we could give a very high level overview of what Second Life is. Second Life is if they took The Sims and brought it to the next level. It's virtual reality without the glasses. It's basically an actual virtual avatar based Second Life. It's kind of the Truman Show without you being kidnapped and thrown into it. I remember when this first appeared, the company I work for my day job was very interested in it because they like to stay on what they call the bleeding edge of technology. And you can see that Second Life is definitely born from a Matrix influenced society, you know, from a world where the idea of like an actual mirror existence in a sort of defined cybernetic digital space could be a way some of us want to spend a majority of our time. So it was to the point where businesses were actually, I think, you know, Second Life almost had the beginning of what we're looking at as cryptocurrencies now too, right? Because they had
Second Life. Lindens.
Yeah, you had the Linden Bucks. Oh my God, I forgot Lind, because wasn't it Linden the guy who created this?
I don't know. I only get what, you know, Joe shares. I did go on and at first, the site wiggled when, you know, I use only my iPhone and my iPad. I won't do a desktop at all. And it, you know, when I tried to type my data in to create my account, it kept on wiggling. And I said, this must be an omen. You know,
yeah,
I shouldn't do this.
Don't
or I stop.
Don't go in.
Right. And Joe, knowing about me, he said, you know, maybe you should. He says, no, maybe you shouldn't. I wouldn't wish that. He was addicted to it for 5 years, a terrible addiction to it. And in fact, he has confided in me that he's gone back in. So I told him to be careful. He just got his job back and he lost everything. Some time went by and I absolutely sat aside all the things that had happened to Joel in his real life because of the game and went right back on and was able to create an account.
Then
I'm like, okay, well, we're in business. And I immediately get an email from Second Life admin that they're not mobile friendly. I have to use a Lappy or a desktop. And I said, no way, I'm not going to get on. I'm not a Lappy or a desktop person anymore.
I think that's just because of how much memory was required, right?
Like, yeah,
it's so memory intensive. I remember we did it on desktops and you actually had to install a significant amount of software just space-wise because it's sort of, it's like on the level of a video game. You know what I mean? It's almost like something you would see if you were in like the world of Grand Theft Auto. That's the scope of the virtual environment. And then you're controlling your little avatar walking around it in third person perspective. So for me, my immediate analog to it was video games. So for, I actually remember sitting there in meetings when they were like, because I work for a media team for a corporate, not-for-profit organization. And so we're expected to know all about new trends and whatnot. And we actually, you know, spent days, a bunch of us, like, exploring this. And I just flat out said, I honestly think this is kind of a waste of time. You know, I mean, unless you guys are going to let me bring a PlayStation or an Xbox to work and spend hours doing that, it's literally the same thing. And I felt very quickly it was invaded by a lot of the sort of porn, online porn presences, because there were definitely spots you would go to where these virtual storefronts would be set up and it's literally just porn on all the walls and you're like, oh, see, it took like a week for the porn to get in here, so
right.
I don't see this being a viable platform for the business world, you know.
Well, I have approached this book in the manner he just emails me stories, and so I've filled it in with my own narrative, so I'm speaking as myself, so I'm not really a ghostwriter in this particular instance. I'm just elaborating on his stories and commenting in between. They have to buy skin, you know, and I'm like, what the hell, buy skin?
You have to buy like clothing and skin textures and skin colors and stuff. Yeah,
but from the sex aspect, I can't figure out. You have two Abbeys. I can't see how one would get turned on sitting in front of a computer screen watching two Abbeys have virtual sex.
Well, that was
it.
Before we evolved to the point of, yeah, no, I just want porn. You know what I mean? Like, there was a time where, you know, there was a game way back in the 80s called Leisure Suit Larry, and it was literally a date simulator. You know what I mean? It's like you're trying to pick up chicks and have sex with them. That's the whole point of the game. But it was 8-bit graphics. There was no objection. Like, there obviously wasn't nudity. It was all implication. And I think that speaks to a level of our imaginations that may be deteriorating today because, like you're saying, I couldn't understand why people would watch this and be turned on. And I'm right there with you because I'm like, yeah, this is ridiculous. But that's really what it is. It's the idea that for the person controlling the one avatar and the other person controlling the other, and that they're both deciding to do this, mentally they're making this leap to, like, I'm fucking a stranger right now. You know what I mean? And there's something exciting about it. Or even if it's not a stranger, I'm fucking somebody that I know really well, but we're doing it in a safe way. No one's going to have an accidental pregnancy. No one's going to catch an STD. And no one's going to stop us. And no one's going to get divorced. You know what I mean? Like, that's, in my mind, the only way I could understand people putting that much effort into making sure that that was an element of this thing called Second Life.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it totally has me, you know, perplexed. I mean, and again, so I said, I really do want to go back on and 'cause he's not giving me enough information for me to have it. We, you know, he had posted some photographs. I'm like, great idea. Wrong idea.
Oh, he posted photographs in Second Life? Or?
Oh, yeah, yeah. But he was just using, like, animals or whatever. And once he said, he was talking about these great cats that they had. He was explaining this cat. He says, don't get JoJo started on the furries. He once had a thing for them or something. And I said, JoJo, you got to tell me more about those animals. So he said, it's shameful. He says, I have to quit. I can't do this. And I said, Joe, it's just words on paper, you know. And, you know, we are so, we're so hardened to what we see on the World Wide Web. People are going to go, oh, yeah, whatever. It's no, it's really no big deal.
Right.
And he finally came back, but it took a lot of, you know, cajoling to get him to come back. So anyway, another book, I had someone recently approach me and ask if he could hire me to market his 14 books and the manner in which I market Cyber Days in the World Wide Web. I mean, it took me aback. And that's what I was saying, that it's lonely on this side of the World Wide Web. I don't know. I think I have people following me. I think I have fans. Yeah. I don't know because I don't get feedback.
Yeah, we kind of, sometimes at Hollow Nine, we have the same thing. We have, I mean, our traffic numbers are telling us one story, but the fact that we have, like, sort of radio silence and we have all kinds of avenues set up for people to be able to interact with us, we see the most activity on our Facebook page, but it's very rare for us to get the, you know, emails that we had been getting. You know, most of the people who were in Hollow Nine were in a previous project with me, and in that network, we seemed to get a lot of really good interaction with our audience. You know, there were sort of regular emailers that each episode, like, I was running an American Horror Story podcast, and every episode we knew we would get an email from someone named Lisa and an email from someone named Ashley, you know, and so we would always have, okay, this is the section where we read listener emails, and we would at least have a couple. And so far with Hollow Nine, we haven't been noticing that too much, which is a little sad, but you know, I have to put some trust in the fact that, like, well, we must be doing something, because these websites aren't just visiting themselves, you know, and these files aren't just downloading themselves. So there are people out there, and the numbers are going up. So I'm just wondering what we're doing differently or wrong, you know, to that is not inspiring people to actually take the couple seconds to write an email when we all have basically mini computers in our pockets all time.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. Well, I hear you. I know exactly what you say. And in fact, I got an email from my Stellar blog site. Congratulations. Your story has reached over 27,800 views.
Whoa.
And you're now, you know, in the top 20 for the week of being viewed. You know, check here to see where you're at.
Nice.
I was only six. Can you believe that? And again, I don't, you know, what was it that I said in that particular blog? I constantly scroll through my Facebook page timeline to see, you know, because it tells you, you know, how far you reach.
Right.
What people like to hear about, you know. Anyway, I thought about, you know, I came across an Instagram. Somebody had posted on my had messaged me, "You are everywhere," and I blogged it, and I said, "Mission accomplished," you know, and so people are taking notice that I am all over, you know, the place, and they want to know how I do it. Well, instead of just telling them, I should write a book, because ABC, I can spell it straight out. Give me facts and I can put it down in an interesting way. That might be, you know, something that I would write. And just my ride, I mean, I have saved all my emails from all these people that have just, you know, stumbled across my email address.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting stuff. And I think, but are people really interested in reading that? I don't know. So I follow mainly authors, and I have made a handful of close, you know, intangibles. I've never met them. And, you know, and they give me feedback. Yes, they would write it. So that's about the only thing that I would have to do other than maybe writing, you know, ghostwriting for other people's. So I don't know. And then I thought, well, maybe I should, you know, market other people's books. He said, I know you would have a whole host of authors, you know, wanting your services. So that was an avenue. I'm like, well, I like doing it. I'm good at it. You know, apparently I have, you know, a knack at it. So maybe I should give that a run and forget about writing altogether, you know, down the road.
Yeah.
So I don't know where I stand. I guess I'm just still plugging along with Cyber Days. And along comes you.
And I'm going, hey, I kind of feel like you should appear on a radio show within Tangent City. Or, like, I kind of feel like you're probably writing about a place that could exist in Tangent City. Because, I mean, you know, I think a lot of art now is a reflection of how much society has changed since we've gone digital and since technology has become so prominent. So I feel like it's probably hard, you know, when I was writing this audio drama that has a lot of stories going on in it, all fictional, but it felt very much like just a place I was visiting in my imagination, and it was a city I was picturing. And then slowly, as I'd be looking for music to have on in the background to be writing to, like, I would just go to YouTube and type in, like, synthwave. I want to listen to a whole bunch of 80s-inspired synthwave.
Isn't it great?
It's so awesome. And I would find all these artists, and I found this artist named Kavinsky, who anyone who's seen the movie Drive with Ryan Gosling, his song is the song in the open when they're driving along the Pacific Coast Highway. And he has an album all full of music and all the videos for the songs. There's only three or four videos that exist. They basically are kind of taking place in a city that's very similar to the city I've been picturing in my mind while I've been writing this audio drama. Now, I was writing it since July, and I only found Kavinsky in, like, September or October. And so it's almost one of those things where I'm like, ooh, like, if I, like, let's say I sell this idea to, like, Netflix or FX or somebody, and we wind up making a TV show of it or a cartoon, my immediate thought was like, oh, I'm going to want them to get Kavinsky to do the music for this because he clearly understands, like, the idea. But it was so close that I was sending the links to the YouTube videos to my partner, Jennifer Cifuentes, in Atlanta. So for anyone who hasn't been following the Hollow Nine Network and doesn't know who Jennifer is, you know, check her out. Jennifer Nine, she's the reason our website is awesome. And I was sending her links, and she's going, like, holy crap. And I'm like, yeah, it's like this guy's been to Tangent City, you know? And she goes, yeah, exactly. And I was like, it's almost to the point where people are going to think I ripped him off, you know what I mean? Where it's it's really more like, the to me, this is always proof of the zeitgeist. This is always like, look, there is a thing that's, like, hovering right above human consciousness. And it feeds off of all the knowledge that we as humans have accumulated. It's almost like what you could call the God's eye, if you want to take it to that level, but it's the idea of a super consciousness that is really, I think it supports people who say things like, we are all God appearing in different forms, we're all representations of one giant super consciousness. That's kind of what the zeitgeist is. So to me, it's fun sometimes when two artists are separated by miles and space and time, but they kind of have similar ideas. And I think, you know, as people and as artists with egos, sometimes the initial reaction is to, like, be defensive and go, God damn it, that's my idea. Or, you know, shit, man, I really have to give this guy credit because, you know, I really like what he's doing and I'm going to run with it. But I think there's something to be said for people who actually are kind of, like, doing their own thing and they wind up doing something similar, like, band together, man, make it stronger, because it reinforces the idea that anybody could tap into this if they're sensitive to it, and not mm-hmm. everybody will be, and there are things that other people are more sensitive to, like, I think athletes tap into something that's different than what artists tap into, but it represents the same kind of dynamic, you know, mm-hmm. that there's, like, a superpower out there that sometimes, like the Force, you know, every once in a while you could use it and get strength from it. And I think it would be a great thing for us to really put more time into studying as a people, because who knows what we could do if we were able to sort of all consciously be putting effort into that instead of separating ourselves or looking for ways to kind of put walls up all the time.
Well, you've renewed my drive to go and scroll back and probably way, way back into my Facebook page timeline and find that incredibly long post that I said that Cyber Days is a phenomenon, because mm-hmm. I'm going to use it in my pinned tweet for my Facebook group. I started that on a whim, and I love it. It's completely different than pages. I'm really turned off by pages. You use a page if you're going to advertise, but I really don't think I need to advertise at this point. Never say never. You don't know what's going to happen.
Right.
I just do every day. I just get up and do what I think is right at that time. And if I see something needs to be changed, I change it. I just keep plugging along. But I said I can't help but wonder what my Facebook pages might evolve into, a place, you know, for set, because even though the World Wide Web is intangible, it's not touchable, but it's there just the same. Mm-hmm. I can't, it's beyond, it's you, like you say, you have to really set and think about it. It's deep.
Yeah.
And so, my group, you know, somebody, and I don't follow groups, you know, music groups I do, but I just don't have time to be social in Facebook.
Right.
You know, I'm doing all the other stuff. When I started the group, just, let's see, I think it was October 28th, I started it, and I'm like, why am I adding more to my plate? I've got enough to do already.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a pending post from somebody, and she had her two groups, and she said, we have already linked you. So she knew of me,
right?
And I was surprised, and very active. I have three or four groups that are very interested. And like I said, I just started this in October. And I've used the name Cyber Days. I guess I could change the name. But she wrote, I love it. She bought Cyber Days at $38.95. I'm honored that people are paying an unknown author $38.95 to read my book. Hell, I wouldn't pay anybody. I don't care if it was Stephen King or whoever, $38.95. I was livid when Page Publishing told me the cost, but it's due to the length, and right. I might as well disclose it has picture. I take pictures of the peculiar. And, of course, while I was chatting in Facebook, I was sharing pictures. So I said, well, I might as well put them in there so the reader knows what I'm talking about.
Right.
And so that ran up the cost because it's published in color. And I want people to buy the ebook for other reasons. Anyway, she recently bought the paperback. She lives in the UK. She spent $45 US, I guess, for shipping and everything to get it over there. I was just taken aback. I don't know what to say. And this is just in the past week or two.
Yeah.
And she recently posted a photograph of the picture of the cover of the book. She had taken it and propped up against a wall or something. Hmm. And above it had said, I'm loving it, Gina Davis. And it's like, wow. Feedback. I love it. I love it. You know?
Yeah.
So and it's all a drive. But she said, I don't know what to post on in your group. And again, that leads back to It's so finite, you know. It's a very narrow, you know. I like other people I follow now. I'm just starting to follow author and blogging groups, and there's a whole lot of rules and regulations and do this and do that. I'm just learning. I'm like, oh my God, it's so much easier just to go to my Nine Inch Nails sites, you know, and post there. But I have to continue learning if I'm going to continue promoting.
Yeah.
Well, so that's where
the world isn't done evolving yet either. So it's almost like once you learn one thing, all of a sudden everybody's doing something else. And you're like, damn it. There was nothing wrong with the old thing. Why are we changing everything?
I know. My phone, I think I told you, I am constantly, every couple seconds, you know, I'm getting push notifications. Your storage is almost full. You can manage in settings. I've already managed every possible thing I can manage. I'm not deleting any of my email. It's all my words. Everything I blog, I save all my words. I delete nothing except spam email and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I'm finally down to pictures, and they're hard to delete. And it just comes right down to it. Not knowing when I bought the phone and the iPad 2 years ago that I should have been questioning storage capability.
Right, right.
Well, I got the 14 gig on both, and they don't have the chip capability. I guess you can, have a chip that you can transfer
the memory. Yeah.
And so I'm like, damn. I'm perfectly happy with my phone. But when you told me I needed Skype, I went to the app store because I didn't have the app. I deleted all the apps that I don't use. I have 66 apps and I use them all. I painstakingly got rid of my thesaurus. I'm like, oh no, but I have Siri, so Siri does it for me. I went to the app store to get the Skype app, and And my app wouldn't even load. I mean, I have the app, but it wouldn't even load because there's not enough space on my phone. And I'm like, damn, damn, damn. You know, I don't want to have to go spend $2,000. I'm certain it will be, but I'm an iPhone gal. I'm an Apple. I do not do droids. I hate them. So anyway, I'm going to have to make that move. But again, I think I told you, I can't even download the App Store, let alone to get the Skype app. But right. Let me try my iPad. Well, lo and behold, it did. And my phone has been doing all sorts of weird, weird things because I'm beyond its storage capacity. I pushed it to the limit. And I'm just hoping to get into the next tax year, write-off year, because I've got enough tax write-offs for this year. So anyway, it's just ironic. And I'm thinking, well, it's probably antiquated anyway. I'll probably like even better what the new thing will be. So I'm trying to look at the bright side. But it was fate that I just happened to try one more time, and boop, I got it, and it downloaded. I mean, I didn't have Messenger because I didn't have enough room to load it, and I deleted pictures, and I guess I had, you know, it in to load in the App Store, and boom, there it was. So now I have, Messenger. I didn't have Messenger.
So anyway, that's how we wind up finally connecting, because all these messages I was sending you were going into your other box there.
And I had,
Facebook has that hidden other inbox that if you're not connected, you just have a ton of shit in there. Like, anybody should go to that, by the way, and just check it. See how many people have been trying to get in touch with you. Oh my God, it's probably crazy.
So, yeah, that's what I just recently discovered. And same with Messenger. I just had a whole ton. And a lot of it is so-and-so waved at you. And I'm like, oh my God, I can't
believe. I hate
the
waving. I hate it.
I don't get it. It's like poking. I just don't get it.
Which is poking even still a thing? Somebody told me that it is. And I'm like, really? Because I don't even see the button anymore. Because good. Because like, why did we need that? We didn't need that.
I know. It doesn't make any sense to me.
We didn't need that.
So again, everything, you know, it just happened that. And I don't think my iPad would have loaded it either. Because a lot of my sites, they just. You just go in and it just pops you right back out again. So anyway, so I think it's not luck or just sheer, you know, luck that you and I, our paths crossed. It is fate, you know, that it was meant to be, that I got Messenger, boom. And then I was miraculously able to get Skype on my phone.
Thank God, because I was like, I don't know how I'm going to record this. Like, I don't have any other setup at home right now. I have a phone tap at work, but I'm not at work, so that doesn't work. And I was like, thank God this worked. I was like, oh, I found you. Last second, back to where we started complaining about Skype.
Well, I tell you, you are a breath of fresh air. Like I said, I came across Angel Medina, you know, on Twitter, just, you know, but he had been watching me, and so it became, and he's been a big help to me. And so I give back to those that have helped me. Joe has helped me a lot in Twitter when I was learning my way around, and there's other few authors too. So, you know, I invite people to like their pages every day. I share their book posts from their pages to my timeline. You know, I do what I can because I've always been one that has not been particularly aware of other people's needs. And I felt guilty about that character defect of myself. So in a way, I give back. And I spend, you know, probably several hours, you know, of the people that I, you know, and I don't tell them that I do it. And I don't think it says so-and-so and, you know, accepted Gina Davis's invite to like your page. They just get a notification that someone liked your page. So they're not aware, but I get a crack it up when I see a new post from them. Mm-hmm. We've made the 200-mile mark. Thank you, friends. You know, they have no idea that, you know, I've invited thousands of people to like their page.
Yeah.
But it makes me feel good. I'm not trying to toot my horn here. It just, you know, finally I'm able to give back something, you know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it sounds like your whole project here is a big way of giving back too, though. You know, it's you're delivering a message that needs to get delivered. There are some people that might, you know, resist a calling like that, so you know, don't shortchange yourself on credit for that.
Well, thank you very much. I guess if I could figure out, I'm determined that I'm going to create the new genre that will be in Amazon, because I think I really do lose out. Page Publishing chose the genre, and I think it was something like fiction biography or biography fiction. And I'm like, isn't a biography nonfiction? Yeah. I don't even know. And at the last minute, I added one more. So it's just floating out there. It's not getting any hits by people searching in Amazon for books in general that they would come across, you know, which was another thing too. My books, if people want me to ghostwrite for them, they could use it. Be Cyber Days, My Second Life. They could use my surname in their title, and they have to agree to. I chose my book is orange,
right,
with black bold letters. You've probably seen it, I'm sure, and deliberately chosen because it stands out. It's not all floofy color, you know, flowing gowns and crap like that. It stands out. Here I am, you know. I'm here.
Yeah.
And so everything had a purpose. I mean, and like I said, I put no thought into this as I went along. I just did what I thought I had to do at the time. And again, it's just fate. Whether or not people agree that it's a good cover, I don't know. And I really don't care, but they have to agree, you know, that they have to use the same cover, and what they'll get in return. The name Cyber Days is already very well known in the right. World Wide Web.
Yeah.
So they'll have that added free advertising that I've already, you know, blood, sweat, and tears over, you know. So anyway, I'll see what comes of that. I did create Cyber Days LLC, you know, hoping that I could.
Congratulations.
Thank you. So I could dissolve it just as easily. I haven't. I'm just, you know, day by day I wake up and I do whatever I feel like I'm supposed to do that day.
Yeah.
And, you know, fate will. You know, if it was meant to be, it'll be. And if not, I gave it my best try. And I can't say I didn't try hard enough. I know I did. So.
But that's a big step. I mean, Hollow Nine just incorporated this year as well, because we said, you know what, if we're really being serious about this, let's be serious about this. So,
right, exactly.
So, and that's, you know, no small feat, you know, and I think that's another step a lot of people probably stand on the precipice of. And because it's a big thing, or it seems big because you don't have anybody helping you. Like, I have a really good support system. I have tons of friends who are CPAs. So I definitely have people to turn to for advice. And one of those friends actually stepped up once he saw that I was serious, and I was explaining to him what I was doing and how much I had already done before I actually finally reached out to somebody and started filling out paperwork to incorporate. And he was like, you know what, dude, I got you. When you're ready for your taxes in January, come see me. I got you. Don't worry about
it.
So
you are
that's like, you know, very, very kind of, but again, like you said, fate, you know, it's the kind of thing where I may have been nervous to take this step because I'm like, well, now I'm going to have to pay an accountant and I don't know how to even go about finding one, even though I work with a bunch of them. And it was like, when you finally, I think fate sometimes requires you to take a step, you know, to show that you've got skin in the game. You know, I think there's a certain level of the zeitgeist or whatever this other force is out there wanting us to take some level of responsibility for ourselves. But when you have the bravery to do that, the karmic response is fate kind of coming in and saying, okay, cool, this person's going to help you. And hey, you now are connected to this person and that's going to help you both. You know, and like those kinds of things are sort of where we are, I think, at this current state that we're in, you know?
Yeah. For certain.
So.
Well, going back into the spirituality, I guess I do have this to tell. I did have to hire an attorney to create the disclaimer for Cyber Days, but I also needed his advice because I was using direct Facebook messages, you know.
Right,
If I would be violating any terms of and, you know, when you agree to terms of service, there's no way in hell I'm going to read through that stuff and understand it. So I had to hire somebody, you know, to advise me on that.
Yeah.
And what I got back in return was, no, you're fine. But in an 8-page PDF of why I should not, and need to change. And the artist in me said, no, nothing. It is the way it's going to be. And I didn't know what to do. So finally, I just got my laptop and all my notes and put it in my laptop bag and put it underneath my bed. And I said, God, I'm turning this over to you because I don't know what to do. And I gave it no more thought at all. And on the fourth morning, I woke up and got out of bed and just pulled it out from underneath the bed and carried on. And I don't know why, and it's not my business to know why. You know, my higher power made the decision for me just like I asked him to do. So it's just all of it. I'm getting goosebumps remembering that. I'd forgotten all about that. But so I've come across a lot of obstacles along the way, and each time I persevered, and as you know, again, it's not just luck or it is fate.
You've been listening to the Hollow Nine Network, bringing you the very best in fan-made media. That's the word hollow, the number 9, INE. Now broadcasting from our new home on the web, hollow9.com, where you can find info on all of our awesome programming as well as the team behind the shows. Leave us your feedback, join in the conversation, and be a part of the action. Find the Hollow Nine Network on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. Rate and review us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or wherever you find your podcasts. Email us at info@hollow9.com or at hollow9podcast@gmail.com. Join in the fun. Hollow Nine.
Gas gun.
Welcome to Hollow Nine's 10 Minutes in Purgatory podcast, in which we recap and review each episode of sci-fi's hit TV series, Wynonna Earp. I am Jennifer Ooh. Nine, and with me is my co-host and resident Hollow Nine Earp expert, Jennifer Earp.
Hey there, Earpers. This is Jennifer Earp.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the main event. It's the clash of the Lady Titans beneath the neon lights, happening before your eyes and ears right here tonight. Put your hands together for the Hollow Nine Network's Glow Podcast. And now, your hosts, Jennifer Nine, Whitney Benson, and Liz Joplin!
Airing now on USA Networks, Damnation. Hollow Nine Network is proud to present The Damned Flock, a Damnation podcast.
I bid you hear my words, for there are devils among us. Those who would conspire and plot against you, against me, against the very fiber that holds together to make this country strong. We have been prepared for these biblical times. This is a country at war, and we have been divinely armed. You see, brothers and sisters, we were given not a word, but a sword. The time has come for the sheep to rise against the wolves. The time has come to break their fucking backs. So you must choose a side now. Are you with the flock or the strike breakers?
Break their fucking backs!
The Damned Flock. Join us at hollow9.com.